Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are continuing our study of the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, written by 12th President Spencer W. Kimball. We are going through it chapter by chapter. Sometimes it takes a little bit more than one day in order to thoroughly go through this, although really, in essence, we're really not going all that thoroughly through it. We have to skip over some of these portions. But anyway, we're looking at chapter 9 today, a chapter called Point of No Return. And now, Eric, we're starting to get into some of the chapters that we often start citing, because Kimball says some things in here that I would hope that if a very thoughtful Latter-day Saint is reading this book, when he gets up to chapter 9 and following, he starts hitting some very tough issues. And again, it's his definitions of certain terms that certainly do bother us. But when it comes to the point of no return, he starts off with Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 41. But whoso breaketh this covenant after he hath received it, and altogether turneth therefrom, shall not have forgiveness of sins in this world, nor in the world to come. And we know by looking at Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, where the context lies, deals with having the covenant of the priesthood. In other words, he is definitely pointing this chapter at the member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we are going to be talking about that. Anyway, he goes on to say, it is true that the great principle of repentance is always available, but for the wicked and rebellious, there are serious reservations to this statement. For instance, sin is intensely habit-forming and sometimes moves men to the tragic point of no return. Without repentance, there can be no forgiveness, and without forgiveness, all the blessings of eternity hang in jeopardy. That is where we would certainly have trouble with Mormonism, because their definition of repentance seems to go beyond what the Greek word means in the New Testament, the metanoia, the turning away or the turning, the change of heart. We certainly do recognize that in repentance there should be a change of heart, there should be a change of mind, a different course correction. But Eric, does it imply that we should be 100% successful in that turning away? In other words, are we ever expected in the New Testament to come to the point where sin no longer bothers us, or we no longer have the urge to sin? Do we get that impression in the New Testament?
Certainly not, because, I mean, Paul himself in Romans talked about how he struggled with sin, and we are still sinful creatures who are going to be tempted, and we do our best to overcome, but that's not going to happen on this side of death before we will be perfected like him.
So we look at, as a Christian, we come to Christ in faith, believing that he is the forgiver of sins, that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come to God in faith, recognizing that only through Christ can we have this forgiveness. We are justified by our faith in what he did for us on the cross at Calvary. After that, we certainly, in order to show our appreciation, we turn aside and we start living a life that we hope will please our Lord for the gracious gift of salvation that he has given us. And certainly this repentance process is going to be a part of our sanctification, and it is something that is ongoing. It's not a one-time thing. Now we are involved in sanctification. We've already been justified. Now we are going on into sanctification. But look at what it says in the church manual, Gospel Fundamentals, chapter 14. Page 67 in this church manual. It says, our Father in heaven does not sin, and he does not allow people who sin to live with him. To live with him, we must repent of our sins. To repent means to feel sorry for our sins and stop doing them. And this becomes a theme in Kimball's book, because when you read Kimball's definition of repentance, he makes it very clear that if it's true repentance, you will never do it again. So in essence, we could say that in Mormonism, there's no such thing as repenting of the same sin twice, because if you find yourself having to repent of a certain sin a second time, it could be argued by the definitions we see throughout this book and other church manuals that you never repented in the first place. That becomes a dilemma for the Latter-day Saint, because if in fact God cannot live with anybody who sins and they have to stop sinning, we have to ask the question, how many Latter-day Saints have actually accomplished that? Now, he goes on into another area in the Book of Mormon that we have discussed before, but since we're going through this chapter by chapter, we need to touch on it again. Perhaps there's some people out there who didn't catch that broadcast when we discussed Alma 34 in the Book of Mormon.
This is what it says starting at verse 32, "For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have said, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Ye cannot say, when ye are brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world." Verse 35 says, "For behold, if you have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even unto death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked." I think this agrees with Hebrews 9:27 and 2 Corinthians 6:2, that this is the day that we need to make that decision, and after death there is no ability to have any kind of repentance.
Kimball certainly gives that impression. Now, you were kind enough to read the whole section in context.
Right.
Kimball starts with verse 35, but by starting with 35, I think he is trying to make a point. "For behold, if you have procrastinated the day of your repentance even until death, behold, you have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his." The question, of course, is what Mormon has not procrastinated their repentance? If repentance is defined as the stopping of sin, and if a Latter-day Saint admits that they still struggle with sin, they obviously are still in a state of procrastination because they have not overcome all those sins. And Kimball is going to emphasize that stuff. He's going to say that overcoming sin is absolutely essential. And he looks at that as the ability to not do it. And he does not allow, really, the Latter-day Saint any excuse. Which, of course, causes me to ask, did Kimball really think he overcame all his sins? What kind of a deluded person would assume that somehow they've reached that point where, as Kimball will say later on, they have no desire to sin? They've overcome any desire to want to sin. Certainly there are some things in my life I no longer have a desire for, but certainly I cannot say that all of my desires to do things that are wrong have completely gone.
Now, Bill, we're going through this book chapter by chapter, as you've said, and we're not trying to take things out of context. We're not making this up.
No.
And very clearly, there's no hope in the Mormon message if you're going to believe what Spencer Kimball is saying here.
Well, he goes on after he quotes Alma 34, verse 35. He said, "There is a sad note of finality in that last statement. It matches the words of Samuel the Lamanite to show to those who would procrastinate the day of their salvation. It is," and he's quoting from it in Helaman 13:38, where it says, "It is everlastingly too late, and your destruction is made sure." And it recalls, going on, "and it recalls those of Mormon relative to his wicked contemporaries, where it says in Mormon 2:13, the sorrowing of the damned. So it seems very clear that Kimball is saying that if a Latter-day Saint procrastinates their repentance, and as we go on in this, folks, you're going to see how they have certainly taken that word and taken it to an incredible extreme, that no Latter-day Saint can hope to be anything but damned in the next life. We certainly don't want to see that.
No.
We certainly don't want to see that. Our heartfelt prayer for the Latter-day Saint is that they come to understand what repentance is in a New Testament context. Mm. Because the definition of repentance, according to Mormonism, is certainly not good news. And it does cause a lot of anxiety for many Latter-day Saints who understand how their church has defined this word. They see that they have certainly come short of that goal and will probably never reach it. He talks about the sin unto death, and I know we don't have a lot of time on this, but he says, he quotes John, 1 John 5:16 to 17, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. And he goes on to say, in other words, sins are of different degrees of seriousness. There are those which can be forgiven and those for which one may not promise forgiveness. So in Mormonism, they would say that there are some sins that are not forgivable. But is that really what this verse is talking about in 1 John 5:16 and 17? Now, admittedly, Christian scholars are divided on that, but they all take a different little picture on this. And I think it's important, if we're going to understand what he's saying in this particular chapter, chapter 9, that we go into that a little bit deeper. And unfortunately, we don't have the time to do so right now. But tomorrow, what we are going to do is we're going to look at what some Christian commentators have said regarding what John was talking about, this sin unto death, and hopefully get a better understanding then of what Spencer Kimball is trying to say that it has to say for not really us. What's interesting is he said that this is referring specifically to members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And if that be the case, I would hope that Latter-day Saints are listening very carefully to what Spencer Kimball has said about this particular passage.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South in West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past 5 decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.